Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for July 2011. This is issue number 316. If you'd like to write to us, the new address for the DX Audio Service is Post Office Box 473251, Aurora, Colorado, 80047-3251. The email address for general inquiries is sales@nrcdxas.org. My email address is dxas@nrcdxas.org. Please change your address book to reflect these addresses. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using the PayPal credit card system. Well, with the assistance of Dave Alpert, he's going to give us a complete rundown of what's changed in the last 30 days on the AM band. Here's Dave.
Dave Alpert with the July 2011 edition of the AM Switch on the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We have a huge switch for this edition, number 7827. So let's get to it with call letter changes. 1110 KAOI in Kihei, Hawaii changes their call to KIMO. 1160 KHPP, Waukun, Iowa is now KSFF. 1300, the construction permit for the station in Bemidji, Minnesota will be KNOW. Any bets on that being an all-news station? 1350, the construction permit for the station in Gatineau, Quebec, will have the unusual call sign of CIRA5. Canadian stations have this suffix when they're relaying another station. 1450, WYFY, Rome, New York, changing to WRUY. 1480, WWKO, Fairbluff, North Carolina, becomes WQTM. 1490, the construction permit for the station in Alpine, Texas will be KBZB. 1590, WMHZ, Ocean City, Maryland has decided to swap call signs with another station. They will be known as WAMS. And that means 1600 WAMS in Dover, Delaware will be WMHZ. By the way, 1600 was reported as going silent, but it's coming back on with this swapped call. Construction permits on the air, 790 WBLO, Thomasville, North Carolina. Now on with U1, 10,000 watts day, 26 watts night. 1190 WCRW, Leesburg, Virginia, has a construction permit for D3, 50,000 watts daytime only, and is on the air, moving from 1200 and giving up their nighttime authorization. Their pattern is almost a circle anchored at the transmitter site about 3 miles to the west of Leesburg, headed to the southeast with a small bulge to the north toward Frederick, Maryland. 1380 WMTD in Hinton, West Virginia is on the air with U1, 1 kilowatt day, 13 watts night. 1460 KCLE Burleson, Texas is operating U4, 11,000 watts daytime, 700 watts nighttime. 1550 KESJ, St. Joseph, Missouri is on with U2, 2,500 watts day, 500 watts night from a new four-tower site just to the north of St. Joseph. This new site, incidentally, is located between the two towers of co-owned KFEQ 680. FCC actions this month, 600 WMT, historic call-in, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, licensed for U2, 5,000 watts day and night. WMT is operating under a special temporary authorization because a cell tower has been built about 1.1 kilometers southwest of the WMT three-tower array, and it is causing re-radiation problems with their nighttime directional pattern. The FCC granted the STA, and WMT is currently licensed with variations while the station works to rectify the situation. All this means is the night pattern may not be exactly as intended. 600 WRC Memphis, Tennessee is licensed for U4, 5 kilowatts day and night. It's operating under an STA with U1, 1,250 watts day and night, while WDIA 1070 uses one tower of WREC's array. We'll tell you about WDIA's problem when we get up the dial to 1070. 610 WXVA Winchester, Virginia was granted a CP for U2, 380 watts day, 500 watts night, decreasing daytime power and eliminating directional operation from a new day transmitter site. The four tower nighttime site remains at the old location. 610 WAGG Birmingham, Alabama, licensed for U2, 5000 watts day, 1000 night. WAGG is operating under an STA with U1, 5,000 watts daytime, 250 watts nighttime, due to, and I quote from their FCC application, a part of an extensive urban renewal initiative. The city of Birmingham has begun demolition, grading, and construction on land immediately adjacent to WAGG's nighttime antenna site. As part of this project, the ground system for one of WAGG's nighttime towers has been adversely altered, and the heavy equipment on site has disrupted the transmission line feeding the tower. We'll hopefully see how this shakes out in our next issue. 790 KBRV Soda Springs, Idaho now has a CP granted for U1, 10,000 watts day and a mighty 150 watts night. 1030 WCTS Maplewood, Minnesota presently licensed for U4, 50 kilowatts day, 1,000 watts at night. WCTS is presently operating at U4, 25,000 watts day and 1,000 watts night until approximately the end of January, when WREY 630 is in the process of co-locating onto the WCTS array. For you historians, WREY was the old 63 KDWB Heritage Rock Station with a tower site next to the river, which was ultimately cultivated into prime real estate. Okay, now 1070. WDIA, Memphis, Tennessee. WDIA is licensed for U4, 10,000 watts daytime and 1,000 watts nighttime. After flooding damaged its transmitter site and the station was off the air temporarily, WDIA is now operating under an STA with U1, 1,250 watts day and night, using one tower of co-owned WREC's three-tower array. That site is right along historic U.S. Route 40 north of Memphis. 1150 KIMM Rapid City, South Dakota remains licensed for U2, 5,000 watts day, 500 watts night, but it's operating under an STA with U1, 5,000 watts day and 66 watts night, as the time limit expired for their U2, 5,000 watt day, 400 watt night construction permit. They have applied for U1, 5,000 watts day, 66 watts night, on a permanent basis, eliminating their nighttime directional problem. 1170 WACV, Montgomery, Alabama, licensed for U4, 10 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night, having applied for U4, 10 kilowatts day, and 4 watts night. WACV is presently operating under an STA with U1, 4,500 watts day and 7 watts at night. The new station on 1210 in Osceola, Indiana, has had their construction permit granted for U4, 2,500 watts day, 219 watts night from four towers, three during the day, four at night, a site between South Bend and Elkhart along U.S. Route 20. Both patterns favor the west. 1250 KZDC, San Antonio, Texas, is licensed for U4, 25,000 watts day and a kilowatt at night from two different transmitter sites. KZDC has a CP to move to two new, again separate sites with U4, 25,000 watts day and 2,000 watts night. They lost the lease on their old properties and were granted an STA for U1, 6,250 watts day and 250 watts night, operating non-directional from the new day site. They completed the new day site and have been operating there, but they had problems with the new night site, thus this STA. Now they've proposed a move to yet another night site with 920 watts. That new site is the four-tower array of co-owned KTSA 550 with 920 watts. Why 920 watts? Taller towers equal lower power. They propose adding a fifth tower for the sole use of KZDC. Of the total of five towers, KTSA will continue in their current configuration of using four at night, and KZDC's night operation will use the proposed fifth tower and three of KTSA's. If you didn't catch all of this, I don't blame you. Back up the tape. It's sort of confusing. 1280 WMXB, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, granted a CP for U1, 5,000 watts day, 35 watts night, eliminating their nighttime directional operation. 1340 KVGC, Jackson, Virginia. This station, not yet on the air, had a CP for U1, 270 watts day and 1,000 watts at night, then applied for U1, 440 watts day, 250 at night. The initial CP has been deleted, and they now have been granted operation of U1, 440 watts day, 250 watts night. 1410 WIHM, Taylorville, Illinois, presently licensed for U4, 1,000 watts day, 63 at night. WIHM has been operating under an STA with undisclosed power levels for the purpose of replacement of the cables from the transmitter to the towers. No get-well date has been specified, but we hope to see this station out of the hospital soon. A new station on 1420 in Roe, New Mexico, has a CP in hand for U1, 2,500 watts day and 103 at night. For those who don't know where Roe is, it's about 20 air miles southeast of Santa Fe. 1420 WCED, Dubois, Pennsylvania, presently licensed for U2, 5,000 watts daytime, 500 watts nighttime. WCED has been operating under an STA with U1, 5,000 watts day and 125 watts night since October 2009, when a windstorm damaged the center tower of their three-tower array. Now a CP has been granted for U1, 4,200 watts day and 5 watts night, at a new site along Interstate 80. Dubois is about 100 miles northeast of Pittsburgh, and this action eliminates their nighttime directional operation. Could you imagine having a directional array for 5 watts? 1450 KOBO, Yuba City, California, has had their CP granted for U1, 160 watts day, 500 watts night. 1460 KBRZ, Missouri City, Texas, presently licensed for U1, 5,000 watts day and 125 at night. KBRZ is operating under an STA with U1, 3,200 watts day and 100 watts night from a licensed but unused tower of co-owned KTRX, 980 Rosenberg, Richmond, southeast of Ardmore. 1450 KYLW, Lockwood, Montana, is operating under an STA with U1, 90 watts day and night, while they search for a new tower site. 1460 KZNT, Colorado Springs, Colorado, is on the air with U2, 5,000 watts day, 540 watts night. 1550 WCLY, Raleigh, North Carolina, licensed for U1, 1,000 watts day and only 7 at night. On April 16th of this year, a tornado destroyed their tower. They erected an inverted L antenna 40 feet high and 110 feet long at their studio and transmitter site and operate it with U1 250 watts daytime only. This new STA specifies U1 1,000 watts daytime only and only for up to 6 months while they find a new tower site. And a new tower. A long-standing fixture of the CBC English service in Motown, 1550 CBE, Windsor, Ontario, has had their simulcast period extended. CBE, which has moved to FM as CBEW FM 97.5, has been extended by the CRTC to September 30th. From the application, it seems CBEW FM is being QRM'd by IBOC from the 97.1 and 97.9 stations in Detroit, and they said it wouldn't happen. All right, let's move on to construction permit amendments. The new station at 1030 on the dial at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama has a CP for U4, 50,000 watts daytime and a kilowatt at night. But they've now reapplied for U1, 5,000 watts day and 11 watts at night, and critical hours, 5,000 watts. For those of you not familiar with where this is, Maxwell is located just south of Montgomery, Alabama. 1110 WGNZ in Fairborn, Ohio, just down the road from the DXAS main studios. They're licensed for D3, 2,500 watts daytime only with critical hours power of 1,700 watts. WGNZ has a CP for D4, 5,000 watts daytime and critical hours 1,700. But now they're taking a mulligan and amending the CP to U7, 5,000 watts day, 2 watts night, critical hours power, 1,700 watts. Fred, let us know if you hear that station over WBT's signal from Charlotte. 1220 KPSF in Desert Hot Springs, California is not yet on the air. They do have a CP for U4, 1400 watts day and 1200 watts night. They have an amendment request now to move to 1200 kilohertz with U4, 5000 watts day and 1300 watts night, and a change of their city of license to Cathedral City, California, using the KXPS 1010 tower array. The new station on 1490 in Fayette, Alabama is not yet on the air, but it has a CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and night. This amendment requests a change in city of license to Coker, Alabama, a western suburb of Tuscaloosa, a move of about 25 miles with the same facilities. 1490 WACM in West Springfield, Massachusetts is now licensed for U1, 470 watts day and night, but WACM has a CP for U1, 1,000 watts daytime, 850 watts nighttime. This amendment of their CP requests U1, 1,000 watts day, 830 watts night. 1590 WGBW, Denmark, Wisconsin, licensed for U4, 1,000 watts day, 33 watts night at Two Rivers, Wisconsin. WGBW was issued a CP to move to Denmark with U4, 10,000 watts day, 200 night, but they've now applied for U4, 10,000 watts day, 500 watts at night. Applications. 1010, CBR in Calgary, Alberta, applying to move its transmitter site about 30 kilometers east of Calgary. Their signal is sort of an oval going north and south with 50,000 watts day and night. So those of you in Idaho, Oregon, Nevada, might have a chance of hearing this one. 1120 WXJO in Douglasville, Georgia, applies for D4, 10,000 watts daytime only, with critical hours power of 9,000 watts. 1140 KYOK, Conroe, Texas, has applied for D4, 700 watts daytime only, critical hours 700 watts, and they're packing their U-Haul and moving to Katy, Texas. 1310 WJUS in Marion, Alabama, applies for U1, 5,000 watts day, 33 at night. 1340 WKSN, Jamestown, New York, which had a cute slogan at one time, Listen to Kissin', applies for U1, 260 watts day and 520 watts night, and they're moving to the tower of WJTN, 1240. 1410 WTIX, Concord, North Carolina, has applied for D1, 1,000 watts day, 67 watts night. 1520 KVTA, Port Hueneme, California, has applied for U2, 10,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night. Their old application asked for U4 facilities. 1520 WSVX in Shelbyville, Indiana, has applied for U1, 260 watts day, 4 watts night, and critical hours power of 260 watts. 1590 WAMS in Ocean City, Maryland, which we spoke about earlier, is licensed for U4 with 1,000 watts day and 230 watts night. WAMS has been operating under an STA since July 2009 with U1, 250 watts day and 50 at night. They've now applied for U1, 250 watts day and 29 watts night on a permanent basis. And back up to Canada we go. 1690 CHHA, Toronto, has tendered an application with Industry Canada, their version of the FCC, for U3, 6,250 watts, day and night. Application amendments. We have only one. 1260 WWRC, Washington, D.C., licensed for U4, 5,000 watts, day and night. WWRC has applied for U4, 20,000 watts day and 5,000 night. But now they amend the request to U4, 25,000 watts day and 5,000 night. Some of you might remember the station as WWDC. Applications for new stations, 1020 applied for in Blue Diamond, Nevada. The station proposes to be U4, 5,000 watts day and 250 night. There's an application for 1120 in Coral Springs, Florida. The applicant is asking for U7, 9,500 watts day, 1,100 watts night, 6,700 watts during critical hours. In Roe, New Mexico, 1420 is being applied for with facilities being U1, 2,500 watts day and 103 watts night. Roe is just to the southeast of Santa Fe, in a small community adjacent to the mountains. And finally, 1550 is being applied for in Midland, Texas. The applicant wants U4 50,000 watts day and 300 watts night. AM on FM this month, 580 WDBO Orlando, Florida, being translated on W240 BV 95.9 Mount Dora. 640 WGST Atlanta will be on W222 AF 92.3 in Marietta. 660 WPYT in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania will be translated on W261 AX in Pittsburgh. 900 WUAM Watervliet, New York will be on W291 BY 106.1 in Troy. 930 WFMD Frederick, Maryland will be heard on W286 CA 105.1 in Hawbottom, Maryland. 1130 WASP Brownsville, Pennsylvania will be on full power station WPKL 99.3 Uniontown, Pennsylvania. 1160 KCXL Liberty, Missouri will be on a translator K275 BQ 102.9 in Richmond. 1180 WSFM, Carolina Beach, North Carolina, will be on W240 AS 95.9 in Wilmington. 1240 WTAX, Springfield, Illinois, will be on W298 AP 107.5 in Springfield. 1430 WHAN, Ashland, Virginia, W273 BU 102.5, also in Ashland. 1490 WCRE, Watkins Glen, New York, will be on full power station WNGZ 104.9, Monter Falls. 1530 WYGR, Wyoming, Michigan, will be on W235 BN 94.9, Grand Rapids. 1600 KRKE Albuquerque, New Mexico, will be on K208 EO 107.5, Sandia. And we have one deletion to report. That is 1600 KOKE Pflugersville, Texas. KOKE is no longer on K274 AX 102.7 in Austin, so scratch it off your list. And speaking of scratching and erasing items out of your list and logbook, here are a few dismissals and deletions. 690 KZEY in Tyler, Texas has decided to throw in the towel. Their license is now canceled and their call sign deleted from the FCC database. 1160 WJFJ Tryon, South Carolina. This station had a construction permit for U2 25,000 watts day and 500 at night. They thought over their finances and decided not to do it, so it remains U2 10,000 watts day and 500 night. 1180 WFGN, Gaffney, South Carolina, calling it quits. The license is canceled, the call deleted. Up in Canada, 1340 CIBQ, Brooks, Alberta, is now silent for good as of May 22nd. The 90-day simulcast period with their FM on 105.7 came to an end for this 1,000-watt non-directional AM station. 1270 KPDA, Twin Falls, Idaho, had a construction permit for U1, 10,000 watts day, 1,000 watts night, but now KPDA has decided to remain U1, 5,000 watts day and 1,000 night. 1400 KCLA, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, license canceled, call deleted. Same goes for 1410 WDKS, Cleveland, Mississippi, and 1490 KOTN, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Bye-bye. 1520 WDCY, Douglasville, Georgia. This station is presently licensed for D1 2,500 watts daytime only, with critical hours power of 800 watts. WDCY applied for D1 50,000 watts daytime only and critical hours power of 50 kilowatts. They've rescinded the request for the critical hours power, leaving the application for 50,000 watts daytime and remaining 800 watts during critical hours. For what it's worth, it's not clear what they had hoped to gain with the application. U1 means non-directional, and there really is no difference between sunrise to sunset 50,000 watts and having the same power for critical hours. But crazier things have happened. On 1600, the application for the new station in Halifax, Virginia, has been rescinded. Now, let's take a quick look at some news before going to Mark Durenberger's house. As reported as back on KXOR 660 Junction City, Oregon, KWDP 820 Waldport, Oregon, returning to the air with Standards and Talk, KMPH 840, Modesto, California. They've been reported airing just music with abrupt IDs, all intended likely to interrupt their silent period so as not to lose their license. They're also reported to be not changing their antenna pattern. So DXers east of California may want to try for them. WAMD 970, Aberdeen, Maryland is back on again with the KHZ radio format a la WYRE 810 Annapolis and WKHZ 1460 Easton, both Maryland. WTRI 1520, Brunswick, Maryland has also been added to the network. WASP 1130, Brownsville, Pennsylvania, back on. WSFM 1180, Carolina Beach, North Carolina returns to the air with Spanish AC as Radio Maxima. WNEB 1230, Worcester, Massachusetts, returns to the air with EWTN Catholic Religion as Emmanuel Radio 1230. WPBC 1310, Decatur, Georgia, is back on with Black Gospel as Reggae AM 1310. These stations are reported as silent. WATV 900, Birmingham, Alabama. WEZZ 930, Brantley, Alabama, as they search for a new tower site. WKSC 1300, Kershaw, South Carolina. KZTD 1350, Cabot, Arkansas. And in our almost on file, WVZN 1580, Columbia, Pennsylvania, is on, but with very low power. It's only covering about a 10-mile radius and is very overmodulated. Now let's see if the enforcement branch of the FCC made any money this month. It appears the cash register is ringing on M Street. A fine of $25,000 has been assessed to WIRJ 740 Humboldt, Tennessee for violations relating to tower fencing, their non-functioning emergency alert system equipment, and failure to maintain a public inspection file. A fine of $21,000 has been assessed to KVOZ 890 Delmar Hills, Texas, for failure to maintain a main studio in the community of license, operation inconsistent with the terms of station authorization, that means they failed to power down at night, and maintain and make available a complete public inspection file. A personal note, the station has wreaked havoc on 890 for Bill Hale down in Fort Worth for a number of years. Maybe this will get their attention. A fine of $10,000 has been assessed to WDLX 930, Washington, North Carolina, for violations concerning their lack of public inspection files. A 10 grand fine for WHAW 980, Lost Creek, West Virginia, for public inspection file violations. A fine of $10,000 assessed to KNX 1070, Los Angeles, for failure to replace a non-functioning red obstruction light on its tower. A fine of $14,000 has been assessed to WLBH 1170, along with their sister station WLBH FM in Mattoon, Illinois, for tower fencing violations and failure to maintain a staff presence at their main studio. A fine of $25,000 assessed to the owner of WQQZ 1190 Fairview Heights, Illinois, and KZQZ 1430 St. Louis, Missouri, for public inspection file violations of both stations and failing to change patterns at local sunrise and local sunset for KZQZ. A fine of $25,000 assessed to WEGA 1350 in Puerto Rico for violating the terms of a negotiated agreement made between the station and the FCC. It seems they paid with a rubber check. A fine of $5,500 has been assessed to WCLM 1450 Highland Springs, Virginia, for violations involving their non-functioning EAS equipment, non-functioning remote control equipment, and lack of public inspection file at its main studio. WCLM may be a jinxed call sign. It used to belong to an FM station in Chicago that lost their license when they were caught broadcasting horse race information to bookies on their subcarrier. A fine of $24,000 has been assessed to the owners of WQQX 1490 East St. Louis and WQQW 1510 Highland, both Illinois, for violations concerning both stations' non-existent public inspection files. Both stations are commonly owned and operated. A fine of $7,000 has been assessed to WWSM 1510 Anvil, Cleona, Pennsylvania, for tower fencing violations and failure to maintain a staff presence at their main studio. This is the biggest list of fines we've seen in years. Maybe it marks a turning point for the FCC, seemingly ignoring stations cheating on the AM band. And it'll be interesting this fall when some of these stations try to exercise their special high school football STA. Also, keep in mind that in September, the new standard for EAS, CAP, and all broadcast stations must have their new equipment in operation. The CAP standard includes audio description of EAS events over television. In the news, Transport Quebec and Cogeco are teaming up to create two new all-traffic AM radio stations, one in French on 690 and one in English on 940 for the Montreal region. As of the fall, the stations will broadcast from 4:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. on weekdays, 6 a.m. to 1 a.m. on weekends. They'll focus on traffic conditions on the major roads and bridges, road construction, road work, transportation, public awareness campaigns, and the weather. Transport Quebec will spend $3 million per year to finance part of the station's operating costs. Both stations propose the former facilities of CINF on 690 and CINW on 940, both operating with U3 50,000 watts day and night. Something of a celebratory event when a big new AM goes on the air. KKXA 1520 in Snohomish, Washington isn't quite there yet, but will be soon. The new towers have been erected. The Puget Sound area station will blast 50 kilowatts at night and start at 20 kilowatts during the day. It's hoping for approval to move to 50,000 watts full-time. The debut air date is tentatively end of July. The format's still up in the air, pending a rough survey of prospective area listeners. By the way, our inside track says the country and Western and all news are leading so far. KKXA will be the sister station of sports talker KRKO 1380 in Everett. The Snohomish area site where the KKXA towers are situated is also home to those of KRKO 1380. Those sticks received some unwanted publicity when they were vandalized last year and required rebuilding. Add to that the difficulty in getting the required permits and approvals, and it's possible that KKXA will be the last new commercial signal in the area. There are six towers total at this site. Four serve KRKO in a parallelogram. Four serve KKXA as an inline array. One taller tower is KRKO only and not shared. Two of the six towers are shared. Both stations are omnidirectional daytime. The KKXA name is a nod to one of Western Washington's first radio stations, KXA 770. The station now broadcasting is KTTH 770, The Truth. A trend for many years has been for non-commercial operators to pick up signals in the commercial band and convert them to non-commercial educational use. But every so often, we're seeing stations go back in the other direction, such as the case with KMRF 1510. There is no reserved band, meaning frequencies set aside for non-commercial broadcasting on the AM dial. So any non-com AM station is automatically a case of non-commercial incursion into commercial territory. KMRF is licensed to Marshfield, Missouri, located to the east of Springfield. It's a Class D daytimer with 5 kilowatts daytime and 1.6 kilowatts during critical hours, using two different patterns. The station is commanding a decent sale price, $350,000. Another hole in the dial is reported in Portsmouth, Ohio. WPAY 1400 was left adrift when the WPAY FM license was sold off. Doug Braden, president of WPAY, said he would take the station silent after 86 years on the air. First licensed in February 1925 as WHBD, a 20-watt station for the Chamber of Commerce in Bellefontaine, Ohio. WPAY moved twice over the years, ending up in Portsmouth, Ohio, after passing through a series of owners, including a church and a newspaper, among others. And there's a hole on the dial in Chattanooga, Tennessee. 1310 WDOD, the oldest station in town, is no more. From its first sign on April 13, 1925, until June 1st, it essentially had only three owners, the last of which was the Saiba Hankel family, which bought the station almost 50 years ago in 1962. WDOD was once known as the Dynamo of Dixie and operated at 5,000 watts daytime since 1935 with a directional antenna after moving to 1310 in the great frequency shift of 1941. In recent years, it ran a series of satellite-delivered formats, and according to local reports, the station's 22 acres of land were sold to a school for $600,000, and the license turned back to the FCC. The GM suggested the equipment pretty much had reached the end of life. That's our huge AM switch for this month. A tip of our 12th Tower top hat to Sean Axelrod, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, Tim Noonan, Dave Schmidt, Fred Volbe, and Al Tobia. I'm Dave Alpert, behind the mic in the City of Angels. And now it's time to visit the cabin of Mark Durenberger, who's chilling out with his Perseus radio, catching some great DX. What do you have for us today, Mark?
Thank you, David. This month, we're back to our State of the Station reports. We're getting good feedback on this, and so we'll continue it as we ask for your comments. We've profiled some stations in Texas, the Pacific Northwest, and Atlanta. Today, let's turn to the Cleveland radio market. Cleveland radio may be unique because of its part in creating the rock and roll industry. Cleveland is unique as well in that its location close to major population centers means that the big gun stations from Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and New York were a part of the AM scene during the period from which we're reporting. There aren't that many stations in the larger Cleveland market. Over the years, there were some singular success stories, but for the past 30 years or so, most of the battles have been fought on the FM band. FM got an early leg up in Cleveland because of time commitments. The rights holder, WJWAM, put the Cleveland Indians games on its sister FM outlet the year they ran for the pennant. But we're getting ahead of our story. With as few stations in Cleveland as there were, it's amazing there are so many interesting radio stories. We begin our profile with the 5-kilowatt WKBN in Youngstown on 570, on the air in 1926 from the founder's basement on 1400 with 50 watts. In 1928, the feds moved WKBN to 570, where it has remained to this day, though there were some time-sharing things going on, as we'll see. WKBN was a charter affiliate of the original Columbia Phonograph Broadcasting System in 1928, now CBS. On 640, we'll find Pioneer Station WHLO, licensed to Akron, but for a while, a major force in Cleveland rock and roll. In 1927, they came up as WJAY on 680 for about 3 hours. They were moved to 1130, did some channel jumping. Each move required them to timeshare with another station. They changed calls to WCLE and moved to 610 as a daytimer under the Narba frequency assignments in 1941. 3 years later, they moved to Akron and from 610 to 640, with conditions requiring them to provide protection to ZNS and VONF. They also had to protect KFI at night. The station changed calls a year later to WHKK. They became WHLO in 1962, known as Hello Radio for their low-end spot on the dial. WHLO finally gained limited power, 500 watts, after the breakup of the Clears. Today, they serve Akron and Cleveland with news talk. And what of 610, vacated in 1944? Couldn't operate in Cleveland, too close to 640. So 610 was moved to Columbus to create WHKC from WAIU, formerly WBAV. He got all that. They had been broadcasting daytime only on 640. WHKC became WTVN in the 1950s. Why, I bet that's as clear as Lake Erie. And so to 850 and WKNR ESPN Cleveland. Take a deep breath, because this one's complicated as well. Keep your finger on the rewind button if this goes by too quickly. The call letters WKNR were formerly used in the 1960s for a top 40 formatted station in Dearborn, Michigan, known as Keener 13. The call letters were introduced to Cleveland on July 13, 1990 and 1220, when the heralded call WGAR moved to FM only. WKNR went after the sports teams, and they built a credible sports reputation starting in the 90s. But ownership changes resulted in some of the play-by-play rights deals being dealt back to WTAM, and the 1220 voice was cast adrift in the sports field. Now the story behind the move to 850. It all started with WLGV or WLGB in 1926, a peanut whistle on 1300, to 1450 for a few months and then to 1210. The call sign was changed to the famous WJW in 1929, and the station soon was relicensed to Akron. The 1941 NARBA moved them to 1240, and then in 1943, WJW was moved to Cleveland on 850. On the air, you could hear Alan Moondog Freed, Mad Dog Myers, Soupy Sales, and a young Casey Kasem. At 850, they were allowed to operate at the suffrage of CFRB. By 1959, they had improved the facilities to 10 kilowatts day, 5 night, protecting Boston and Denver as well. There they remained until 1985. But a few years earlier, the sister TV station was sold, its call letters WJKW. As a condition of sale, it was agreed that should WJW AM ever be sold, the buyer would have to relinquish the call letters. And that happened in 1985. WJW went to the TV station, and 850 became WRMR. WRMR was in different incarnations from 1985 to the 2000s, a big band station, pop standards, and a talk station. The new music format was initially middle of the road, aimed at the 40 to 49-year-old age group. It flopped. In 1988, ownership tried the music of your life. WRMR grew to become the top AM stick in the Cleveland market and gained national prominence. In 1999, WRMR upgraded its daytime signal to 50 kilowatts, but now it had to protect a station in Pennsylvania, so its signal to the south was weakened. And then in 1999, as the mega radio groups were assembling, WRMR 850 and WKNR 1220 were sold to Salem Communications. Okay, if that wasn't complicated enough. In May 2001, Salem officially announced plans to move the WHK calls in religious format from 1420 to 1220, and the WKNR calls in sports talk format were to move from 1220 to 850. In turn, the standards format that had been WRMR was set to sign off, with the brokered talk shows in the evenings to be carried over to WKNR. A last-minute arrangement led to WRMR's format moving to 1420. Oh, I hope I have it all correct. On we go. WCCD 1000 is a daytimer signing off for WMVP Chicago. WJTB on 1040 in Cleveland, another daytime station. And so to 1100 and WTAM. This facility is one of the few of the majors that did a lot of call letter changing. But they started out life with the call letters WTAM in 1922 on 770 kilocycles, where they time-shared with WEAR, NEE, WJAX. The WTAM owners purchased WEAR so that they could use the channel full-time for WTAM. The Federal Radio Commission's Omnibus General Order 40 in 1928 moved WTAM to the only clear channel assigned to Cleveland. That was 1070. On that frequency, TAM began to increase its power to 50,000 watts by 1929, and that would have made WTAM one of the earliest stations to get to maximum power. And then, by NARBA 1941, WTAM was moved to 1100. But there's more to the story. NBC bought the station in 1930. NBC wanted to get into Philadelphia in the worst way, and they did an AM-FM TV swap with Westinghouse, the Philadelphia cluster for the Cleveland group. To bring Westinghouse to the table, NBC threatened to withhold network programming from Westinghouse stations in Philadelphia and Boston. Now, Westinghouse had moved the fabled KYW call to Philadelphia from Chicago in 1934, and though they had left Philadelphia, they wanted to keep the call letters on the air. So, in 1956, Westinghouse put KYW on 1100, and the WTAM call sign ended up in Atlanta and Mississippi. The soap opera continues. Almost immediately after the trade was finalized, Westinghouse complained to the FCC and the Justice Department about NBC's extortion. In 1965, after a protracted legal battle, the FCC ordered the swap of stations reversed, without NBC realizing any profit on the deal. So NBC regained control of the Cleveland stations on June 19th, and Westinghouse took KYW back to Philadelphia. NBC changed the 1100 call to WKYC. The KY came from KYW, and the C stood for Cleveland. WKYC became a top 40 giant as Radio 11. Its main local competition was WKSY 1260 Super Radio, and we'll get to them in a moment. WKYC on 1100 remained a top 40 station until early 1969, when they diverged for a short time to Heavy 11, which focused on acid rock artists. WKYC eventually went back to an MOR format. In 1972, NBC sold WKYC AM-FM, and the AM radio station's call letters were changed, ready, 3WE. During the 1970s and 1980s, formats included adult contemporary, oldies, country, and MOR. In 1985, the owners of WJW, remember them? They sold that station to buy 3WE. The new 3WE owners brought the WJW News Talk format with them to 1100. In 1996, ownership decided to replace the WWWE call letters, the station temporarily branded as News Radio AM 1100, and in searching for a new AM-related call sign, it found that the original WTAM call was once again available. On July 26, 1996, the station once again became WTAM, 40 years after having dropped the call letters. The 3WE call sign was later assigned to a 5,000-watt daytime station, remember, in Atlanta, which, as we know from our March report, also broadcasts on 1100. You know, it's unbelievable what a small world this broadcasting business can be. We had no idea that we'd be doing a story that would tie back to the Atlanta report. And now let's flip the tape from side to side and end to end.
National Radio Club.